Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific. A full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All of these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of the society or any members for the society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. Has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will, and He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know.
Thank you.
but for some reason that night it got to me. I turned over and I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't sleep.
We're glad God found you, and he gave you a dream. Oh yeah, and we still dreaming, we still hoping, we still marching, and we still fighting. We got some young folks, we got some good folks that keep the dream alive. Oh, they young and they old, and they black and they white and they brown and they male and they female. And Martin, we want you to know that that truth is our dream. Oh, we love you. We love you. Oh yeah. I want you to know that I remember the day just like it was yesterday. When I got the news that someone took you away, and I was angry, I was mad, and oh, I forgot about gun violence, but oh, I was sitting down and they played one of your speeches on the radio, and oh, tears filled up in the well of my eyes, and oh, I got down on my knees and I cried, oh, 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 and then I got up, and I start dreaming your dream, and I want you to know that I'm still here, I'm still fighting, oh, I'm still marching, Martin, I'm still living that dream, and I want you to know that folks will love you. And we still need you. We need to keep on leaning, keep on praying, keep on talking for us.
You gotta call on that something
call
in that
him.
Person that your daddy
call
used to
him.
Tell you about. That power that can make a way out of nowhere.
Power, Lord.
I discovered then that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself.
Trying times, and
You know, there have been some interesting things going on in the news these days. Anyway, I want to welcome you all. Welcome the chat room, my guest in the chat room there. And I want to welcome you if you listen to radio, computer, whatever, PC. If you listen, archive, whatever, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you being here. And always feel free. Feel free to be a part of the program because your opinion is not only valid, but it's appreciated. Appreciate you. 347 again, 945-7040. And blakicz.1@gmail.com if you want to give us a little bit of if you want to send us any information about yourself, you want to bring up a particular topic, want to suggest a guest. I had initially anticipated that I would have had a young lady from my hometown on today, and it's my fault that I didn't get her in. She had so graciously accepted my invitation to be a part of the show, and I unfortunately had some extenuating circumstances as usual, and I didn't get a chance to get her scheduled, but she will be on this show, and what she does is, it's going to be, I hope, very interesting to you and very entertaining. Next week, I'm looking forward to a dear friend of mine who's been on before, Miss Vicky, and she does the genealogical thing. And I'm looking forward to her being here next week. I've contacted her, and I just want to firm up that appointment. And if she'll be here, I'll be so delighted for you to get some information and compare notes if you're already into genealogy. I'm not into genealogy, but you know there are a lot of people who feel that they want to trace their roots back as far as they can go, and I'm thinking that she's told me she's back a couple great greats, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But I'll let her explain all that for you, Miss Vicky. Hopefully next week, right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends, talking about genealogy. A lot of exciting things that have gone on this past week, including the debt ceiling increase after a dramatic series of political events that occurred. Tremendous, exceptional, extreme drop in the stock market today. I think around 400 points. So that means I lost more money on my retirement. And when Bush was in office in June of 2008, I lost 33%. And who knows what this is going to add up to be. And you know what? Hopefully it'll the stock market will regain its footing, but to me, there is, a lot of people say, well, this, you know, everybody, well, let me say this. I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. Happy birthday to the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. Happy birthday to you, brother. 50 years old. I'm 9 years older than you. I'm trying to talk with a friend of mine who's trying to get in the chat room right now. But anyway, President Obama, congratulations. May God bless you with many, 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 many more birthdays, each one being far more wonderful than the last, because I personally appreciate everything that you've done. I understand this guy has been under stress and duress, and you know I can dig it. I mean I can really understand that when you're dealing with an opposition party like the Republican or the Tea Party, as I call them, POTTIE, not even a Y, female gender primarily is what I would ascribe to them. That's my opinion. And when you're dealing with a group of people like that, whom I would consider to be insane, maniacal, lunatical, who would literally jeopardize children, elderly, and indigent, people with illnesses, chronically ill, who desperately need their support, who would literally place their wishes and goals against the needs, not desires, but the needs of others, who would gratefully defend the more than wealthy individuals and juxtapose those wealthy individuals to the needs of children and parents who are losing homes, losing jobs, losing insurance benefits, losing all kinds of possibilities. Maybe an entire generation will be lost because of the Tea Party. And the Tea Party walks around with a smile on his face. You know, to cause so much havoc, so much to wreak so much havoc and with total disregard for anyone else's well-being, the Tea Party struts around with all the arrogance and condescension of typical Republicans, REPUBLIEKKKONS, and Tea Party people. TEAPOTTIE, Tea Party people, with all the arrogance and you know, initially whenever they began when the president was and this is all to make President Obama one-term president. This is what this is all about, is to have this guy who is one of the most intelligent individuals in the that I've ever seen in my 59 years, and who happens to be a black person, a person of African descent. What Chris Matthews, that silly fool, calls mixed race. Mixed, that's what he calls it. What's the opposition to mixed? Pure? Is that what he's trying to say? Is that he's pure, President Obama's mixed? So that means that President Obama is not quite equivalent to Chris Matthews' standards. Chris Matthews, you know, if that's the case, if that's the case, what I submit to you for your consideration is this. If your mother is a woman and your father is a man, based on Chris Matthews' logic of mixed, then you're a mixed-gendered individual. You can't declare yourself either man or woman because you're mixed, according to silly Chris Matthews, one of the most silliest persons that I've ever seen in my whole entire life, and tries to direct... tries to direct and you know what, people are having a hard time maybe getting in the chat room, I'm not sure, but are having a hard time with hearing me in the chat room, you know, and I wonder sometimes if I'm getting heard out here on Blog Talk Radio, you know, because it would seem to me, I would hope that I am. It's difficult, I think, for people to get in different rooms. I know it's difficult for me to get in different rooms at times, but I hope that they get that fixed, you know, so that people can get a chance to hear an alternative view on a lot of different subjects out there. And I apologize to any of the guests or individuals who are trying to get into Blog Talk Radio. I have a call. Wait, let me see. Here's a call. Who is this? 813? A13, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Wonderful. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Salsera Latina.
Hey, welcome, Ms. Salsera Latina. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you
wonderful
doing tonight?
Wonderful. Glad to hear you. I'm doing all right. Thank you. Thank you. And may I introduce you to my listening audience who are few, but very wonderful. Ms. Salsera Latina, and I know my enunciation is not quite appropriate or correct, is of Puerto Rican origin. And you know what? I wanted to invite you to come on anyway one day and just to give me a visual. I've never been to Puerto Rico, but I'm sure that there are a lot of people who have. And what's it like? What is the country, the geography like? What's it like? It's a Caribbean island, is that what you're saying? I mean,
that is correct. Puerto Rico is in the Caribbean island. It's a beautiful island, and Puerto Rico stands for the richness of the island.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Now, let me see if I have your history right. You were born in New York?
I was born in New York and raised in Puerto Rico.
And your native language is Puerto Rican, right? Or what? How
Spanish.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Spanish, thank you. You know I don't know. I'm trying. But so give me, I mean, you know, what are you, what's it like, you went back to Puerto Rico at the age of, I think, 11, you say?
I went back at the age of 12 years old.
12, okay.
I went to grammar school out there. I went to junior high school and high school and college.
All right, all right. And then came back to the States, right?
Exactly. I came back to New York City.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided to move to Florida.
Right.
I've been living in Florida for 23 years.
Wonderful. So what kind of a comparison? I've met more people since I've been online from Puerto Rico than ever. I mean, I never, you know, that was not within my purview. I've hardly ever been out of Texas. There were some individuals some years back that were on when I was really young, on some baseball teams that were Cuban. And those that and mostly for Hispanic individuals for me here is people from Mexico. And I've met some people from Panama maybe, and Santo Domingo, is that? I think that's what I'm saying. But anyway, so what's it like, the comparison between New York, for instance, and Puerto Rico?
Well, the difference between New York City and Puerto Rico is the weather.
Right, because you're warmer climate, right?
Exactly. We have hot weather all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. New York City is basically mixed races of the Latin.
Right.
Puerto Rico doesn't have a lot of Mexicans, but they do have a lot of people from Dominican Republic.
Really?
Yes. Miami has a lot of people from Cuba.
Well, let me
ask
you this. Do you mind? And if you do mind, please just let me know. And I'm just curious, and I hope that you don't, you know, feel offended. But may I ask you this? You know, here in the States, if you have cultures that intermingle, which I know you know this, and I'm trying to relate it to Puerto Rico and what you just told me about. You said Santo Domingo, Dominican.
Yes.
You said Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we call it, or they call it, and we adhere to their, you know, whatever the definition is integration, so to speak. Is that conceptually, you know what integration here is when, you know,
that
group.
Is correct.
Am I right? You understand
yes.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like here, integration means groups come together. Initially, in the 60s, the word was used to express a forced interaction between different ethnicities and cultures, right? I don't think you experienced that in New York, right?
Yes, I did.
Oh, really?
That's correct.
So, okay, well, first, may I ask you about your feelings about that type of an environment where, you know, it was, you know, either one forced or voluntary, because I see people as being people. I don't know why there has to be a definition such as integration, you know. So what was the experience like in New York for you?
I lived in an all-white area, and we were the only Hispanic family there.
Okay.
So we
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we were kind of on our block. We were the only ones that were Hispanic. And since we were in an all-white area, we were able to feel the way that people would act with us, the culture that
like,
the white... Excuse me, go ahead.
No, was it like... did you feel alienated? Did you feel not included, or
absolutely.
Did you feel that you didn't belong, or that they didn't want you to belong? Was that the impression that you had?
That was not the impression
that
we had. That was the impression they gave us.
Right. You know, and you know what's strange to me is whenever I contemplate the term white, you know, it always comes to mind that you have Swedish white, Finnish white, Polish white. I'm assuming that Italian is also white. You have German white, French, I'm assuming you would consider to be white. You know, and all these different ethnicities, Norwegian, you know, they meld together, and I guess because of the quote-unquote, because who would know if I saw a German and a Polish and a Norwegian or a Swedish and a Finnish person walking down the road, how would I be able to determine just by looking at those four or five individuals what their nationality or what their, I would call it, I guess, nationality, because I don't know that either one of those would be a different ethnic group. I don't know really, I guess, how to define ethnicity to that extent. But if I saw either one of those individuals, I wouldn't be able to make a determination as to what their country of origin was. And so I'm assuming that they all come together and determine that they're all considered to be, quote-unquote, white. And that is sufficient to allow them to interact with each other without any being suspicious or curious or, you know, being offensive, you know, because I'm assuming based on your statement, and please allow me my presumption here and correct me if I'm wrong, that you felt a little bit ill at ease with some of the interactions that you had with, quote-unquote, your white neighbors?
That is correct.
Really?
But you also got to realize that in every culture,
mm-hmm.
all around the world, you have
mm-hmm.
white is nothing. There is no such thing as color
right.
in my country.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Because, see, that's the point I'm getting to, is that there, people say there are races. It's not races. This is all about color. And to me, to be so preoccupied and you know, with color, to me is like almost psychotic. But you know, I mean, people feel they're very comfortable, you know, being that preoccupied and everything with their different differentiations, you know, you know, how was it as far as, was it in school, did you have problems? I mean, you know, when you would go to school, or was there problems shopping, or, you know, I'm sure, were there any friendly, quote-unquote, white people in the community?
Like I had mentioned, I was born in New York City, so
right.
I was in New York City since I left New York City. My parents took me to Puerto Rico when I was 11,
right.
so
right.
I've experienced the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
where I lived, and
mm-hmm.
like I said, in my block, we were the only Hispanics, so
mm-hmm.
how can I explain it?
No, that's
we
okay.
tried
You're fine.
To get involved with the
right.
American white, let me call it like that, the white
right.
American.
Right.
And but you also got to understand that if you look at everybody's race, we are all yellow, white, tan, black. It doesn't
right.
matter. The only problem that we encountered was that they knew that we were not of a white origin
yeah.
because of the way that we would talk.
Right.
That's the only reason why, because when I grew up, I was white with blonde hair.
Right, right.
So
right.
they would have never made a difference unless I would open my mouth.
Well, so you expected not to? You know, because, you know, for me, in Texas, where I've been all my life, rural, which you might consider rural. Now, I wasn't raised in Houston or Dallas or San Antonio, any of the major metropolitan, what
exactly.
you might consider to be metropolitan areas in Texas. But I went to segregated school, which I say segregated, because you have to have these terms, you know, to express your situation. But anyway, I went to this school, and as did a lot, most of the friends that I grew up with and that grew up prior to me, my mom and so forth, and everybody else, grandmom and all that. you know, we went to what you would consider, and we didn't call it segregated school. I guess they call it, quote-unquote, back in the day, the colored school, C-O-L-O-R-E-D, colored school. And then they call it the Negro school, and then the black school, you know, whatever. But the point of it is that, you know, we had community in our community, and we didn't have opportunities to work in, you know, jobs going back. I mean, since I was a kid, my relatives didn't have a chance to work in jobs, say, for instance, in stores selling things or in manufacturing, making things or, those types of jobs were off limits for us. And those jobs were reserved for, quote unquote, white people. And then we integrated when I was 12 years old. So I went from sixth grade at, you know, primarily, it was all black school to an integrated school. Integrated, meaning that I was now thrust into an environment with, quote-unquote, different cultures, probably ethnicities, and these were primarily white people. There were some Hispanics that I think had already been going to, quote-unquote, white school. And the teachers, they were, like, freaking out. I mean, the white teachers, they couldn't really focus on educating because they were so conscious of social differences. And so they had to, you know, they had different elements and levels of discrimination that they had to employ. That was standard for the social structure. You had to maintain these, you had to maintain these structures, these differences, and so a lot of the kids, you know, coming from their families, I don't know if they had been warned or not, but they were real reserved, and you know, we clicked with each other, you know, we clicked with our group, they clicked with their group, and of course there were those opportunities where people would use offensive language.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they would use offensive languages or you know, slurs or derogatory remarks, and you know, but one of the things I think that helped us out was whenever we got into athletics, and whenever we got into athletics, it was down to dude versus dude, and I think that and being challenged to physical duels on different occasions, and people began to realize that there were more to us than just the way we looked. We were a quote-unquote minority, but we did the best we could to represent ourselves. And, of course, you know, am I talking too much?
No.
But anyway, we were, we were, like, in the classes, you know, and the teachers really, they didn't know how to deal with us because, you know, it wasn't acceptable in a way for my father or my grandfather to say something offensive to a white person. You know, you had to, like, gauge the terms. We didn't care. I mean, you know, we said what came to mind. You say something to us, we said it to you. And you could just see the difference in ages anywhere from the kids we were in school with to the older people, and the older people were surprised that, wow, these people, they need to stay in their place. Well, we didn't really have a place in our mind. Our place was wherever we chose to be, you know, because I think that on some level, internally inside of us, internally, that we saw the Constitution as it was written, not as it was interpreted, which the Constitution as written says all men are created equal. And as it's interpreted, it meant that maybe white guys should have preferential treatment. Well, we didn't particularly adhere to that philosophy. But anyway, so Sarah, tell me what, like, when growing up in New York, then you left and you went back home to, you know, now, to me, New York is just concrete and asphalt and buildings, just buildings. And, I mean, were you in New York City or New York State? You know, what?
New York City.
So what is it, what's it look like? I mean, I've never been there. So, and there's a lot of people probably laughing at me, but I've never been there and I really don't have a desire to go there. But what's it look like?
New York City? Or Puerto Rico? Which one of them?
No, New York City. I thought you were telling me it looks like New York City. No, because I wouldn't know. But I mean, you know, the buildings.
Right. New York City has changed a lot from way back then. But
right,
New York
right.
City, if I was to choose,
mm-hmm.
where would I go back to?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be New York City. New York City is a very, very exciting state. Or city.
City?
Yes.
Yeah.
New York
vibrant.
City is very exciting to go there, and I think you should go to New York City. That's
what
the city
that
never
sleeps. What's exciting about it? What's exciting about it?
Well, what's exciting about it is that everybody's up 24 hours a day there. There is never a dull moment in New York City.
Never
a dull moment.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely find that in other cities or states.
Well, I'm a fat guy, so I'm thinking that the cuisine would be one thing that would cause me to want to be there to experience all the different types of cuisine that would be available to you.
Mm-hmm. It's different types of foods, different types of people. You get to learn all different types of cultures, their foods. Education, I think education is excellent out there when it comes to the colleges in New York City. It all depends where in New York City you live.
Well, how hard is employment there? Seems to me.
Well, as a matter of fact, the employment is very hard at this particular moment because of what happened with 9/11.
Were you there when 9/11 happened?
No.
Okay. You were
in Florida? Yes.
Oh, wow. I bet you had you've seen the towers before, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
So that must have been really a horrendous sight for you.
That was very devastating for me to see from Florida.
Really?
Yes, it was.
There is one of my guest hosts, bless her little heart. But Coco, Miss Coco Kisses, welcome to the room. But I'm asking, what I'm thinking is to see. I want to ask you, and I want to do this delicately, because I don't want to cause you any difficulty. But did you lose any close friends or family?
My brother worked around that area. And I almost died because I thought I did lose my brother. Because he did work by the by the World Trade Center. And there were weeks that we couldn't find him. So I actually thought I had lost a brother out there, but thank God that I didn't. And yes, I did lose a couple of friends out there that I know of, that as a matter of fact. They were from Pal Talk.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
They were. So, yes, I did lose people out there.
You know, I don't ever mention that site. Well, I do whenever Nip's Poetic Nook, I mention it for her and, you know, some other friends of mine that frequent that site.
Mm-hmm.
But So, wow, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you lost, you know, friends there, you know, but I, so then what was it like, the visual aspects of it, watching those buildings crumble? I mean, you know, to me, I didn't feel, I was sitting at home, I was off that day, it was a Tuesday, and I was off, and I was in another town, not the town that I'm in, the town that I was in. I was not here now, where I am now, but I was sitting there at my computer. I was barely just catching on to how to use a computer, and someone in a chat room, as a matter of fact, it happened to be Powell, but someone said, "Did you see that plane hit the building in the chat room?" And I'm like, looking at it, thinking, what the heck? And then they said, it's on TV right now. So I got up, went into the room where the TV was, and I saw it, you know. And I was like, and while I was standing there, the other plane hit, you know, because I was just like totally aghast. I couldn't imagine what the heck is going on here. And then the other plane hit, and so then, you know, they began to show all the pictures of the people, and I mean, it was just like, you know, I probably don't want to go through all of that again, but I mean, you know, for anyone out there who, you know, if anyone's listening who has had some very severe traumatic experiences in regard to that, those series of events, but anyway, I will say that it had a very profound effect on me, but not knowing anything about it, I didn't really feel vulnerable, but I'm sure that there were so many people, that was the impression that I got, was that so many other people that were there felt really extremely vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I could see why, you know.
Absolutely.
And,
Well, when that happened, I was working, and they let us out early because they thought mm-hmm. that something was going to happen in Florida.
Really?
Yes.
Well, as a matter of fact, the president was in Florida at that point.
Exactly. So what they did was they closed down all the tall buildings.
Really?
And they let everybody go home.
Wow. So, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's where I was. I was at work when when that incident happened of the 9/11.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is probably one of the most searing things about New York that I remember. I mean,
it was shocking,
you know,
to me.
Yeah, and it'll be, I think, in everyone's memory for, you know, a tremendously long time. But, and I hope that people have the opportunity to deal with it in a way that it doesn't debilitate them or have a real terribly adverse effects on them, you know, because, you know, how do you say, well, get over it, move, you understand what I'm saying? That's just no way you can just tell someone, well, just get over it, you know. And that's how sometimes people casually dismiss certain situations and circumstances, incidents and so forth, to suggest to a person, just get over it. And sometimes it's almost literally impossible to do. But anyway, have you one of the things that intrigues me and something that I'd like to see is the street vendors, the hot dog stands and all that kind of stuff. You've been there to those?
Yes, I have, but they hardly have any of those anymore.
Really?
In New York City, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's already, they don't have those anymore unless very, very little places you find those.
Right.
Very, very little places you find those things. I guess they put a law on there or something in New York City,
You
don't see that. 42nd Street is gorgeous.
Really? Why?
Yes, they picked up their act. Well, before 42nd Street was the place where, when you would go to 42nd Street, that's the place where you would see all the nudities and
Yes.
And if you go today to New York City, that is one of the most cleanest places that you could ever think of, and it looks like Disney World.
Really? Oh, wow. So, and from what I can gather, one of the reasons that I never wanted to go was due to what I had perceived to be a tremendously high crime rate, you know, and a lot of pictures, motion pictures that you see, you know, utilize the subway as being part of the props, you know, and something always bad happens on the subway. So I'm sure you caught the subways and all this kind of stuff around to get around the city and everything.
Yeah,
public transportation. Is that public transport? I guess it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is public transportation. So it's like everywhere. I mean,
right?
Crime is everywhere. You come to Florida. I mean, crime is everywhere. You go to Texas, it's everywhere, and we don't even have trains.
It's not here. It's not here. How are you going to have a town with 6,449 people with a bunch of criminals in it? There are some, I'm sure, but they kind of stay, you know, they would be easily recognizable, I hope, you know. But in some of the larger areas, I'm sure that crime is rampant. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, so now New York City versus Puerto Rico. You were telling me one time about how beautiful it is in the mountains
mm-hmm.
or something.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But crime is very high in Puerto Rico, too.
Wow.
You have to realize Puerto Rico is not like it used to be the 50s, the 60s.
Mm.
Puerto Rico now has, you have all kinds of people living in Puerto Rico. It's not just the Hispanics that live there. You have all kinds of American people that live there. You have Chinese people. You have all kinds of people that live in Puerto Rico at this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the crime is going to be much higher.
So the dominant population, I would say, the majority population, would be what would it be like? Let me say the reason what I'm going to do is give you an example of what I'm trying to say in a way. In Australia, the primary population was Aboriginal people. Here in the States, in the United States of America, initially the primary population was people first generation, what we call Native American individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was it? Was it primarily Hispanic population in Puerto Rico prior to?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So, the majority of the population still Hispanic, or is it gradually?
It's a mixture because you have to realize that the majority. Well, Puerto Rico, the people in Puerto Rico, they had to travel elsewhere to get jobs. It's just like everywhere. I mean,
okay.
Lots of people went to, they got out of Puerto Rico, and they all, the majority of them went to New York City or Florida. And
go ahead, I'm sorry.
They had to do what to do, you know, they had to do
right.
So they can feed their families and maintain their families. And as they kept growing, the children kept growing, and then, you know, they started getting educational. So, like Puerto Ricans, they started marrying into the Colombians, Dominicans, Chinese, white.
Really? Okay.
Of course, black Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have a very large mixture of people in Puerto Rico if you were to go there today. English will be still a second language to them.
Right.
But they do understand it perfectly, and they will talk to you in English.
Really? Wow.
Exactly. That's the same thing with the United States. When they come down this way, okay, it's a must that we need to learn our English. Because English becomes our first language in the United States.
Well, you know,
that's the same way with Puerto Rico.
I'll tell you this, you know, and I think I've told you this before, is that one of the stupidest, most ignorant things that I've ever fallen for was the idea that I should be unilingual, one, you know, English. Everybody, if you're in the United States, I wish to the graciousness of the good Lord that I had learned more than one language. I would have been such a happy guy. I mean, you know, like I was telling you before, my stepdad was an Air Force guy, and he was fluent in Spanish. I mean, literally fluent in Spanish. And he learned a little bit of German and a little bit of Japanese, you know, due to the fact that he had been placed, stationed in those different areas. He's an aircraft mechanic. But, he taught me, you know, German, all that. And then I learned one of those things. I learned that on my own. I mean, well, with some guys helping. I had told you that I learned some other things that got my face slapped. But, the thing of it is that, I have my middle son married a lady from Germany. And, I have two German grandchildren. And I begged her, please teach them German, please, because I think it's essential these days that we break that old paradigm of being unilingual, just one language, because to me I think it's just so important, because. I could probably communicate with you better if I could hablar español, But unfortunately, I'm left to translate with my iPhone. I'm getting quicker at it. I can get around a little bit better with it. Mm-hmm. So Puerto Rico is and there's another place that I'd like to taste the cuisine. Now I'll say this. This is one thing that I think about sometimes is that here in the States, you have, I think, in the north, I'm trying to think of what state it is, where there's maybe Wisconsin, where there's a large Norwegian population, and you have what they call Norwegian cuisine. And you have then in some areas, I'm pretty sure in New York City, probably, or New York or somewhere thereabouts, you have Polish population with Polish cuisine. And, everywhere, a lot of different places you have, quote, unquote, for lack of a better term. Well, here we call it Spanish food. Actually, some people call it Mexican food, and it just depends how, people describe it. And then also, you have, of course, the Chinese, the Korean food. You have the Italian, French. Mm-hmm. Some places, around Dallas, some of the other larger metropolitan areas, you have Nigerian, for instance. And I think some places have actually Somalian. But now, I've never seen a place that had Puerto Rican food as specified. So is there a cuisine that is unique to Puerto Rico?
Yes, just like everywhere
really?
Else. If you're an Italian, what is it that you eat? Pizza. That's
right.
Their food, right?
And pasta. Pizza, pasta.
And pasta,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you go to Jamaica, what do you get? Curry
jerk.
Chicken, spicy food.
Mm-hmm. Curry jerk, yeah, goat.
Yeah, exactly.
Cocktail, right.
Exactly. Dominican Republic?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Lots
I'm lost
of pork.
There.
Lots of
really?
Pork. Yes. So in Puerto Rico, our main dish in Puerto Rico is, Venezuela, you get paella, you see? So
okay,
in Puerto
I've
Rico,
heard of
that. In Puerto Rico, our main dish, is yellow rice with beans and chicken.
Okay.
And chicken.
I was going along with you real good. You hit the, was it pollo? Oh, no.
Yes, chicken. We love chicken.
I hate chicken. But
we are
people,
chicken and pork eaters.
Oh, right. Now, there you go. I can get asado? No, but you don't know about asado. So.
About what?
I will not. Asado. A-S-A-D-O. Asado.
Yeah, asado. Yes.
Oh, you know about that?
Yeah, of course we do.
Get out of here. Huh? Okay. But, you know, that's out here. That's pork, I believe. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
And then out here you also have carne guisada.
Carne guisada.
Beef, absolutely, yes. And you know, so I'm into that now, but I, you know, and I didn't know that there were are there specific Puerto Rican restaurants?
Absolutely, there's all different types of restaurants.
You do the plantains too, right?
That's correct. Everywhere that you go into the Caribbean, that's their main dish.
Really?
Doesn't matter where do you go. If you go to Jamaica, you go to Bahamas, you go to St. Thomas, St. Croix, it doesn't matter where you go, that is the main dish, plantain.
Really?
The only difference is that they cook it differently, of course. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. They cook it differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So, okay, yeah, you know, I mean, well, anyway, I get into, you see, a fat guy, I'm going to get into food. That's just the way I roll, but. You know, I'm thinking like, and one of the reasons, I can't cook, trust me, 59 years old, I can't cook hardly anything. I cannot boil water unless I put it in the microwave. But anyway, the whole idea to me, another thought I would say is that geographically, what I've you know, been observing, listening, watching TV and so forth, is that if the country... If the inhabitants live sort of in the interior or in the mountains, they tend to eat a lot of, say, either one. If there is a grassy land, they'll probably eat cattle. Or, you know, if there's, you know, the opportunity to raise pork, they'll raise pork. But if there's not a lot of food for the livestock, then there'll be a lot of... animals that can live off of small amounts of food, such as goats or, you know, or chickens. Then when you get to the coast, it's like what I'm getting to is conch. I've never had that, and I've heard about it. And I'm wondering, do y'all have that there? Do y'all do much seafood there?
Yes, we do. We have all types of seafood in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And you have to realize
our vegetables
are very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
We can grow vegetables that you will not be able to see here in the United States.
Right. Tropical, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really trying to stay away from politics in the conversation because primarily that's what I get into with what I do. And I've asked Mama Time, and I've asked Miss Sincere. Miss Sincere was trying to come over. I don't know if she made it, but, you know, I invite everybody over because if you know, I'd like to have discussions about different things. For instance, like the topics that we were raising last night.
Mhm. Yeah.
About women and all this different kind of stuff. I don't too much get into that, but you know, it's different topics. So, you know, and other people have different interests. Mine is purely political. I'm pretty much almost all in. That's the one thing that I really. I'm into, but now back to what's the difference? You know, Florida would be climate-wise closer to Puerto Rico than New York is.
Yes.
You said about the mountains. Were you raised close to the mountains, or were you raised close to the water, or? And the reason I'm asking
I was raised in the metropolitan area, which would be called, what do you all call it, like a downtown or something like that. The weather in Puerto Rico varies. If you live up in the mountains, what you get is the waterfall weather.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you live in the metropolitan area, you would have, the temperature would be like yours in Texas. It's very, very dry and hot. Yes.
Oh, really? You don't get the breezes off the coast and off out of the, you know, that way.
That you get the breezes that you get off the coast is when you live in the beach areas. You will always have a breeze. But if you live like in the metropolitan area where you don't have the beach as close as you think, or then what happens is that your temperature down there, it's just like here, like Florida.
Right, okay.
It could be 90 degrees, and it seems like it's 115 degrees out there.
Humidity. Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's how it is. So that's why my dream is to go up into the forest, where the forest is.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's where
okay,
I
so it would
live.
Be cooler there.
Absolutely. In the mountains, and all you see is mountains and mountains of greenery. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful palm trees. And beautiful, the area, I mean, it's gorgeous. You have to go to see. You can't visualize it.
Right, right. So you got to send me pictures until I'm able to afford a visit. Hopefully I'll retire in the next few months, and maybe I'll get around and do a little bit of visiting. But,
sure.
All right. Hey, let me say that, what is it? It's 8:01.
Okay.
And, yeah, you listen to the next phase with Ice and Friends, and I'm just visiting with a friend of mine, lovely lady, Miss Salsetta Latina, and we're talking about different places, primarily New York versus Florida versus Puerto Rico, and you're welcome to join us if you choose to, 347-945-7040, and we can jump into politics or whatever it is you might choose to jump into. But I was just going to kind of breeze with you about, you know, the different places, and I won't even get into the political situations there in Puerto Rico. But what I will ask you is, are they building there? You know, like, you know, is it in a – and I'm, everything right now, I guess, is in an economic decline or a holding pattern. And so I'm just wondering, what's the economy like there?
In Puerto Rico?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it all depends. Puerto Rico, if you have land, there's no such thing as building. The family builds the homes.
Really?
That's it. Absolutely. Yes. That's how it is. It's like in Jamaica or Dominican Republic or stuff like that. Now, when you have someone that buys a large piece of land, then they send in a construction company to do homes, then that's when they start. But it's the same thing. The economic situation that we have in Puerto Rico right now is the same as here. Remember, Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
Right.
So the government from the government also deals with the United States, and whatever you have when it comes to the constructions and the homes, it's the same way as Puerto Rico. It's the same thing. So, yes, it's pretty it's kind of ugly right now in Puerto Rico. And as a matter of fact, with all the hurricanes and all this type of things going on.
Yeah.
So, yes, but as far as buildings, there is no such thing as large buildings in Puerto Rico.
Wow, okay. You know, and I would
it's
think
not
that
like New York.
Right, right. See, you know, in New York, from what I've heard, it's like there are places in excess of $10,000 a square foot, you know, and I'm sure that there are some more expensive than that. And in Florida, it's probably a little bit cheaper, but, you know, Florida's in a real hard time right now, isn't it, as far as employment and so forth goes?
Florida's the same. Florida right now is in the same situation as all the states in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The employment rate is very high. Construction, as a matter of fact, they're not even constructing any more homes out here where I'm at. And the ones that they were under construction, they've stopped. So it's like the economy here is the same. I would say it's the same as anywhere else. Job-wise, I think the percentage here, I think it's 8 or 9 right now at this time.
Right.
Of unemployment.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking like, and I was hearing something today about, you know, I'll sneak in a little bit of politics. I was hearing something about the governor turning down some money from the federal government, and I didn't look up the story to find out what it was about. But, you know, I live in a state where that the governor may just run for president of the United States of America. Can you believe that?
Your governor?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, he just might run for president of the United States of America.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
What I think about that?
Mm-hmm.
Rick Perry? I don't like Rick Perry. Never have liked Rick Perry. I know where he's from. I've been by where he was raised. I used to fish over at Stanford all the time, at Stanford
mm-hmm.
Lake. And I used to go by his house frequently, his dad's house. And I don't like Rick Perry. I don't, you know, Cesare Latino, understand this. I don't like Republicans, period. I don't care. I don't like them, period. And he's one that I would probably dislike more than any other one. But I would welcome him running against the president of the United States of America because, you know, I don't know what our rate of unemployment here is in Texas, but what I will tell you is that he will be touting that his state is more employment here, and it's because it's a right to work state and all this different kind of stuff. Well, actually, it's because of the one resource that we have available that in this day and time is in extreme demand, and that is petroleum.
Okay.
Yeah, and so with, like, for instance, here in the town that I live in, a little bitty small town, they just moved in like 12, but maybe, I don't know, I'm just in this one spot, 12 mobile homes. For some reason, I don't keep up with this local news, but there is getting ready to be some type of an expansion. And I do know that there is I work in the petroleum industry, therefore I know that there is, you know, something jumping off. And it's going to be pretty prolific for a while, and you know I'm blessed and I'm fortunate that I'm not in a state that has a bad, you know, really terribly bad situation. But it is the one thing that I do dislike more than anything about the state I'm in is it's considered to be quote unquote a red state, and this happens to be the state that George Bush is from. Yeah. So those are two or three things against this state as far as I'm concerned. But I've been here, you know, for a long time. And, you know, like I've been with this company I'm with for over 30 years. And it's a major player out there. But, you know, I've seen some things that really disturb me. For instance, I was kind of teasing earlier, or not really teasing, but talking about the tremendous drop in the stock. Just recently, like today, 400-point drop. And, you know, the thing of it is that I was watching our stock go up in price and value, and it never dawned on me that I should take the cash, go into cash, and so before I could, wham, stocks dropped 8, 10, 12 bucks. And so, that you know, that puts you at an extreme disadvantage. In a way, but you know the thing to me that is significant is that the world right now is in a state of economic decline, and so when you ask me how do I feel about the governor running for president of the United States by him being a Republican, I don't think he can trick his way into the White House. I think that I've watched Republican after Republican become a front runner, anywhere from Donald Trump, Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, Pawlenty. I've heard him ask Christie from New Jersey. Now there's Huntsman out there. I mean, and none of those guys are adding up for the Republican Party. And so what the Republican Party is, what the mode and the mood that it's in right now. Hey, OCG, Ms. Janice Graham. Hey. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Janice Graham, South Sierra Latina. And this is one dynamic individual. I look for some great things from this lady, Ms. Janice Graham. And my other sis, I don't know where my sis is, but hey, I'm not complaining, Ms. India Declare. I just have to type in the chat room, Miss Janice Graham. Thank you so much for coming in and being
here.
Hello, really
everybody. I don't know if they're hearing me, but
oh, everybody, they can hear you. Yeah, they can hear you.
Hello.
And, you know, Miss Janice Graham has a. What I'm one of the reasons that I'm so proud to even be to know her. I'm not to know of her. Is that she has a network, South Sierra Latina. And,
really?
Yes, she has been in the business for, I know, in excess of 20 years. Oh, no, thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Janice Graham. And one of the guys that's on her network is a brother guy named Alpha. He and I, we have some disagreements in regard to politics, but we can spice it up every now and then. But I'm so proud of her network. And Ms. Janice Graham, let me say that I heard Andre Aguilashon today, and I was proud to hear that guy. The guy, I've never heard him be the way that he was today. He was so progressive thinking. So South Sarah, please don't understand that I appreciate you being here, but I had to speak to Ms. Janice Graham. And let me invite you to one of her shows, and I will get you the necessary information, because Ms. Graham, please put in the room, because I can pull it up right quick. Let me pull it up. I had some other things that I was going to look at. But South Sarah, she surprised me. She called me, and I was so grateful. I'm so grateful to hear you.
Glad,
because I'd asked you earlier, remember?
Uh-huh.
And I hope it's been not painful for you to be here.
Absolutely not. It was quite interesting.
Now, Janice Graham, our common ground, but I need to know the other dates. And she's on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Blog Talk Radio, HTTP. www.blogtalkradio.com/OCG, our common ground, and R Janice, Janice, at ourcommonground.com. And that is a way that you can get information about her show, or you can type it into the Blog Talk. There, she put it in the room. Thank you so much. www.ourcommonground.com. And that is the Truth Network, TruthWorks Network, and it is dynamic. Trust me, it is phenomenal and very inspirational. I'm just, like I say, very overwhelmed, very proud to have met the caliber of individuals that I've had a chance to be associated with. And South Sierra Latina, please consider yourself included. But I'm so proud to have met Miss Janice Graham, my dear sis, Miss India Declare. And I don't call Miss Janice Graham my sis yet, but I hope that she wouldn't be offended if I did, because I really appreciate and respect the work that she's doing. And if you get a chance, please, I encourage you, I implore you to take advantage of the opportunity that you will have to spend with her. Her information is just tremendous. And she says www.truthnetworks.ing.com. So,
okay.
And I'm going to make sure that you get a chance to hear about me, to get a chance to witness one of her shows, because I think you'll enjoy it. I am so grateful, and I really appreciate. She has some interesting guests. And one of the guests that I was so glad to hear was Ms. Graham. What's her name? Kim. I can't remember what her name is. But she was very interesting young lady. She had been in some trouble, and she got herself through her assistance of Miss Graham and her family. They wouldn't give up, and she got through a very very tenuous. Kimba Smith, KEMBASMITH, and you can Google her name, and it will give you her information. I believe Kimba, KEMBA Smith, SMITH, dynamic personality. I got a chance. She got a chance. No comment. And Miss Rabia Ahmed, I would be remiss not to mention her. One of the very extremely tremendous and exciting young ladies, very talented. I'm telling you, speaking to one, and there are so many. Miss OCG, thank you. Thank you, Miss Graham. Big hug from Texas. Appreciate you, ma'am. KimbaSmithFoundation.com, and I'm going to do this, South Sarah. Don't you go anywhere, okay?
Okay.
All right, just hold on. What I'm doing right now is transposing this information that Ms. Graham gave me to put it on my, where I have access to it. And then I want to do this, and I will say again, listening audience, 16 past 8, 8:16, 347-945-7040. If you choose to call, and like I say, a wonderful young lady, Ms. Rabia Ahmed, who has done a tremendous work, and a lot of people, you would know her as Upfront and Blunt. If you've ever seen that Nick, then that's
absolutely
who that I'm talking about. You've seen that Nick?
Yes.
All right. Let me do this, and we'll be right back right after this.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART Incorporated is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residential rehabilitation services to people suffering from addictions and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of addiction relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. SMART houses women and their children who are reentering from the forensic system or that are in need of addiction treatment. Our purpose, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, or otherwise economically disadvantaged. No matter where your past has been, your future is spotless.
Yes, and that was SMART, the CEO of SMART, SmartToChange.org. SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. And I would like to say Ms. Rabia Ahmed is very dedicated. She took from conversation about helping people to initializing a program. And, I mean, this SMART may sound not very large, but when you look in the general context of all the different opportunities and possibilities that are offered to single mothers, it is phenomenal. I think, let me see, drug treatment, retraining for jobs, you know, and just general support for single mothers who are out there struggling, and they've had either one, some situations with incarceration or some other issues, and, you know, utilizing the opportunities that are made available to them, these single mothers can begin. And you know, she's just in one location right now in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. I've encouraged her to consider expanding. I would love for her to move her operation, or at least, you know, whatever, down to Texas, because the need is extreme, because, you know, the political situation these days, and she's not very political in my opinion, because you can't be political and aid every person regardless of their political persuasion or whatever other persuasions that they may have. I can refer to this, the 12-step program. That's the program that assisted me when I was 36 years old, August 22nd, 1988, to change my life. Now, it may not work for a lot of people, but it happened to work for me. And one of the reasons that I think it was so beneficial to me is because that it didn't make a determination as to whether I had faith, was agnostic, atheist, what my faith was. I didn't care about, you know, if a person had this persuasion or that persuasion, but it addressed the whole idea of sobriety. And to me, for programs to be effective, which is what I believe Ms. Rabia Ahmed has discovered and captured with Smart to Change, S-M-A-R-T, you can contact her at SMART2CHANGE@yahoo.com. But one of the things I think that she captured with the whole concept of single mothers are really trying is that she contends more with the restructuring of a life and it's a holistic approach where the entire family, not just one individual in the family, is involved in the reconstruction of that family, and I'm just like really always in awe and very appreciative for the work that she's done, as well as, may I say, that Ms. Graham, who exposes individuals to us as a public, which is, this is an alternative media source, which we have, and Ms. Graham has, I don't know, several hours per week to not just take sound bites from people, but to take little topics and develop those topics and allow you your input, allow you to be a part of those topics. And those topics that are so essential to us now, because in the throes of this economic situation, a lot of people are feeling so disenchanted. So I've heard a person even say that they were depressed. And what, you know, one of my thoughts is I don't get depressed for the simple reason I use the depression as fuel, you know, to inspire me to find solutions to the problems that are existing in our community. And, you know, my solutions may not be, you know, viable solutions for a lot of people. But, you know, some of the solutions that I have and suggest, one of the primary solutions, this is one thing I heard Andrea Glashan say today. There was a guy that was complaining about the government and the situation and this is bad, that's bad. Andrea Glashan said, look, he said, what we can do? He said, will you promise me, brother, that you will take one person with you when you go to vote? And the guy started saying, well, he said, no. He said, will you just promise me that you will take one person with you when you go to vote? And, you know, because I think that it's clear, and let me say National Action Network, Reverend Al Sharpton, I listen to him every day, every chance I get, and I watch him on MSNBC as well. But this guy's changed the dynamic in broadcasting, and he's still real, keeping it real, and he's still in the truth. And he is doing a phenomenal work, in my opinion, on MSNBC, as well and as well as our president, POTUS. Happy birthday, brother. May God bless you with many, 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 many more. And there are so many jealous-hearted, envious, devious, demonic individuals out here, malicious, that these guys would jeopardize the security of the elderly who had worked for generations to provide themselves a position of reasonable of reasonable, the word I'm trying to find is like comfort and not begging. I don't know, there is a term, but I can't remember what it is. But a pride. People have worked to look forward to whatever the social opportunities they would have, whereas the wealthy, super wealthy, the Koch brothers who are sponsoring the Tea Party and who held up with 82 rookie congressmen, held a gun to the head of the United States of America, the Koch brothers are worth $100 billion. And as I heard it today, I believe on Tom Hartman, he said, one of the guys on the show said that one of the Koch brothers was the wealthiest guy in New York City, South Sarah.
Yes.
If you're the wealthiest guy in New York City, you got to have a little bit of change, don't you? You got to have a couple bucks, right? So, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, but my point is that the thing that continues to give me excitement, joy, appreciation, respect, optimism, is that the Koch brothers, either one of them worth their over $100 billion. The thing that we have in common, well, a couple things, three things. Well, one is we both breathe air. Two is that we both live our lives on 24-hour-a-day cycles. And three is that we have one vote each. So that, to me, equalizes them and me. So how many billionaires are there versus how many people like me are there who's not a billionaire? So what I have to do is I have to exercise the only tool that I have, and that tool just happens to be getting to the poll and casting my opinion. And, like, I don't like Tom Hartman on a lot of things, but this is one thing he said. A dude calls in, well, they're going to cheat us. They're going to change the voting, what do they call those things, machines. He said, dude, he said, if they're going to cheat us out of a million, we need to bring 5 million. And that, to me, is the attitude that we have to have. We have to have an attitude that regardless to what they bring, because I think personally we happen to be, if you choose God as your high power, which I do, and if you don't, I understand, but if you choose God as your high power, we just happen to be on the side of truth, and they don't, in my opinion. So we have to claim that blessing, and we have to pursue diligently and relentlessly, tenaciously, determined, committed, focused on regaining the footing that we should all be on. And for jealousy, envy, and strife, and malicious behavior of someone to hate a president so much that they would rather tear up the entire country than to see this president get reelected, it's not happening. Not if I have a thing with it. Anyway, South Sarah Latina, let me say to you, it's a joy. It's 28 right now, past 8 p.m., 8:28, almost 8:30. And I'm sorry to get off on my diatribe, but I had to go political on you for a minute. Will you come back sometime?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you, I really appreciate you being here, and we'll holler at you on the other side, okay?
Okie doke.
And I am so grateful. You got to come back, promise?
Promise.
I appreciate it. And let me say, Coco Kisses, Ms. Rabia Ahmed, guest 8633, and Ms. Janice Graham, one of the most dynamic individuals that you'll ever meet. Please be sure to check her out. And you can check out Ms. Janice Graham at www.ourcommonground.com. And she comes on, maybe not tonight, but I'm almost, and Lion's Den comes on tonight. I got to check Lion's Den tonight. But she comes on Saturdays, and I can't remember what the other day, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays. Sister Alpha comes on at 2 p.m. Sister India Declare comes on at 10 a.m. every day. That's Central Standard Time. Peace, respect, high regard. Many blessings to you and yours. You've been listening to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Always welcome to give us a call at 347-945-7040. Or you can drop a line to us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Mr. Abi Ahmed, SMART2Change at yahoo.com. Thank you, Ms. Janice. Thank you, guests. Thank you, Coco Kisses. Thank you, Sarah Latina. And good night. Have a good week. And we'll see you next week, we hope, you guys, with Ms. Vicky and Genealogy. Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Night, night.